It's good to have heroes, and the right kind of heroes. And I'm telling you, you have a tremendous privilege that you just don't realize right now to sit under the preaching ministry of Dr. Henderson. So I hope that you'll pay attention and take advantage of it. Amen? Take advantage of Dr. Henderson.
Your Bibles, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. And in this fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, I would like to begin at verse number 18, if you have found your place. And if you just want to listen and not look, that's acceptable too. The first line of verse 18 says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee," there's a comma there now, so I want to rest right there just a moment. What a beautiful scene. The Sea of Galilee is not a big sea at all. It's a very tranquil sea most of the time. Sometime when the southwest wind blows up, there is a mountain that runs out to the Sea of Galilee. It's very narrow at the sea, and it gets wider as it goes back. And when the wind blows from the southwest, it comes down both sides of that mountain and stirs that little sea to where it is a terrible place to be. But this day is a nice day. It's a sunshiny day, I'm sure. And when I read these things, I can almost hear the little waves lashing up on those stones. Jesus walking along there just makes it wonderful, wonderful. And I hate to get away from the first line. It is so meaningful and to me so beautiful. Wouldn't you have loved to seen him walking by the sea that day? But now I think you're anxious to know what else happened. I know I would be. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. Well, now, all of you know Simon Peter. I don't have to talk about him at all, do I? You're acquainted with him. He is a great and godly man. He's full of some little mistakes. But I've known a lot of folks that make little mistakes. So I like Simon Peter. I just love him because he knows how to get himself out of these terrible jams that he gets into. But here on the Sea of Galilee, out there in a little boat, just a little way from the shore, in the not too shallow water, there are two men, Peter and Andrew. Look what they're doing. They're casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, you can catch fish, I think, if you have a pole and a string and a cork and a hook and a worm, but you'd starve to death catching them that way, I guarantee you. It would be far too slow. These men are professional fishermen, so they have a net. Now, a net is just strings, but they are organized. Organized in such a fashion, two different fashions. One of them, they start at a little core in the middle, and then all the strings go out, and then the other strings goes around and makes a big round net, and they can cast that thing magnificently. There are other nets that are longer, but they're strings that run this way, up and down, and crossways, and they're tied into little squares, and we call them an organization of strings. And they use those when they're fishing for fish professionally. And Jesus was interested in how these two men were casting that little net. And I think he was impressed with the urgency that they had about them and the skill they had about them. And I think he stood there for a long time and watched them casting that net. And after a spell, after a little while, he spoke to them. And he saith unto them, follow me. Let me pause just a minute and say, you don't make a mistake following Jesus Christ. It's such a wonderful thing. If you can just get behind Him and follow Him, don't try to get ahead of Him. You make a fool of yourself. Just get behind Him and walk slow behind Him. Stay right with Him. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Amen. Now, you've been fishing for fish, and you are good at it, he's saying. You know how to cast a net and how to watch for everything to be just right. I like the way you fish. I like the urgency with which you're going about your work. But if you would follow me, I'm going on further down the shore here. If you would follow me, then I want to help you to become fishers of men. Now, these two men are pretty wise, this fellow Peter and this fellow Andrew. And Jesus said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Now, I'm sure through their brilliant minds is already going through the idea, well, we're going to need a net. If we get fish and catch fish, we're going to need a net. You know, that's what we're doing right here at this place. We're putting together a net. And we need some folks this way and some folks that way. And we need to be organized. We need to be, everybody knows what his duties are and does his place. I don't try to play the piano. I don't try to play the organ. I don't try to lead the singing. I just find the place that I fit. And I try to fill my place. And if I fill my place and Mrs. Smith and friend over here get their job done and Brother Thompson leads the singing, and the first thing you know, we've got ourselves a net that will reach out and catch fish. Saturday night, I was talking to the pastor and I said, oh, I love the fact that we're running right up there at that 300 mark now. That just excites me. And I said, I'm really hoping that we'll go beyond that 300 mark this fall several times. He said, well, why are you so concerned about 300? Well, when the first Sunday I was here, you had 116. But you have worked at it now until you're having 300. And 300 does a whole lot better job of catching men than 100 does, doesn't it? If we were fishing for fish and I had a 4-foot net and you had a 40-foot net, guess who'd have the better opportunity to catch the fish? All right, we got 300 now. What's wrong with 600? What's wrong with just keep on keeping on and keep growing? Because the longer the net, the more we'll bring in. When we round up the net, the more we'll have. So he said, follow me, gentlemen. And I will make you fishers of men. And I'm sure they're already thinking about the net. And every time I walk through those doors and see this crowd in these pews, I think, boy, what a nice little net. But we need to make it larger. Somebody said to me, you older guys are always concerned more about the number than we younger people are. And I usually say to them, do you have a bank account? Yeah. Do you balance your checkbook? Yeah. Well, I believe you are concerned about numbers then, aren't you? You guys play golf? Yeah. Do you keep score or do you just hit the dumb ball and walk around? Yeah, I keep score. You are concerned. Well, I'm concerned about the scorecard right here every Sunday. I'm concerned about the scorecard in my classroom. These fellows are going to be thinking about catching men. This is a serious business. This is not the matter of catching a few fish to eat. This is a matter of catching a few souls to go to heaven for eternity. And they're going to be working at it. Follow me. Follow me. Boy, I like that, don't you? Well, let's go a little further here now. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father. Look what they're doing. They're mending their nets. Now, if you fish with a net, there's all sorts of objects in the water that will tear the net, all sorts of unseen stumps and trees and stones and nothing else. You'll get an alligator bill gar that has teeth as sharp as a razor, and he'll get in that thing and just cut it all to pieces. Once in a while, the net gets torn. And let me forewarn you that when you're building and building rapidly and going, once in a while, the human net gets torn. It'll get broken. Now, when it happens, here's what we do. We don't talk about the preacher. We don't talk about the deacons. We don't give the song leader thunder. We don't jump on anybody. If we're not careful, we get to talking too much, and then we get to talking too loud, and the first thing you know, we got our tongue tied in the middle, loose on both ends, and there's no telling what's going to come out of our mouth. But let me tell you, when our human net gets torn, what do? We mend it. We mend it. Now, these fellows are so good at this fishing business, they'll make this net stronger when they get through mending it. It'll be better than when it got torn, because they'll use heavier cords in there. And I'm telling you, when our net gets torn a bit, and it will get torn, because we're all sinners saved by grace, and we're not perfect. We'll make a few mistakes along. You will. I won't. But you know how foolish that sounds. You recognize that we're all sinners saved by grace, and we'll not intentionally hurt anybody or do anything. But sometime in our absent-mindedness, we cause the net to get broken. And we have no desire, none of us have a desire to see this church have any suffering and any broken times and any downtime. But these fellows just quit fishing and were mending their nets. And then the net will sometimes need to get mended. And when that happens, let's don't lose patience. Let's don't lose our will to fish. Let's don't lose our faith and determination. And they got the net followed, and they immediately left their net, got their net mended. They immediately left the ship with their father and followed him. We got five people going now. We just had one. Jesus walking along there by himself. But I want to tell you, the four happiest guys in all the world right here are following Jesus. It did it to them. It'll do it to you. You'll find yourself just glad that you're following Jesus. We've got five now. No telling what these five guys are going to do. There's just no telling what they're going to accomplish. Well, let me read verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. These four guys sat there and said, amen. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Good things are happening because Jesus recruited four. And we've recruited nearly 300. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, that's just nice. There's no telling. And it'd be really simple and really easy now to bump up over that 300. When I pastored in Detroit, we'd have 4,000 every Sunday. And, you know, if I got up to preach to 40, I might say to myself, good night, nobody's going to know what I'm talking about in this sermon. But when I got 4,000, I know somebody's going to get a blessing. There'll be a bunch of folks get a blessing. And it wasn't unusual at all for me to give an invitation and 50 people come. That's what it means when you get organized, when you get bigger, when you get stronger, when you're reaching out, you're catching more fish. So all these good things are taking place. The first guys were casting a net. The second set of guys are mending their net. Now I want you to go over to the book of Luke, just a little way over. And I want to look in the book of Luke at chapter number 8. I think. No, it's chapter number 5 that I want you to look at. Luke 5, verse 1. Now we got these five guys out now. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that's Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. The first guys were casting, the second guys were mending, the third guys are washing. Now, when a net gets dirty, it just doesn't work well. And so they'd stop fishing, get out of the boats, and get the net out in some clean waters and just scrub it real good. You know, sometime when we're sitting here and we're wondering, what in the world is Brother Crawford driving at now? What he's doing is washing the net with the water of the Word. And when he gives the Word of God, that cleans us up. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so the preaching of the gospel has some mighty powerful things to it, in addition to reaching the lost, in addition to helping in that kind of thing. It does some cleansing. I don't know about you, but I like to hear a good sermon on salvation once in a while. And I've been saved over 80 years. But it still just kind of washes me a little bit and gives me a new thrill to know, man, I've been saved. Can you see me going to church in a little old buggy pulled by a little black mare? That's how long it's been with me. But it is still thrilling to hear a gospel sermon on the plan of salvation. So these folks are out here now. They're standing by and they're washing their nets. And I'm telling you, when this book is preached, it has a cleansing effect in your life. When I get up here and say, thou shalt not steal, next time you start swipe something, you're going to think about that. You see? Thou shalt not kill. There's just a whole lot of things that we need to hear every once in a while. Amen. So these people are washing their nets. And when the church gets dirty, and it will, this is a dirty world. I'll tell you, our spiritual atmosphere in the United States is rotten right now. Our economic situation in the United States is rotten right now. Our political situation in the United States is rotten right now. Our moral situation in the United States is rotten right now. You just can't wade through that much rotten stuff and not get some of it on you. So every Sunday morning we need to get out here. Every Sunday night we need to get out here and take a little shower. Right? They're washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. The people are sitting out there on the little rise as it goes up the edge of the sea. And Jesus is out here in a boat. And he's teaching them. And they are loving it, I promise you that they are. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net. Now there comes a time, church, that we're not here for our entertainment. We're not here for a lot of things. We're here to let the net out so we can catch some fish. Catch some people. And when that happens, that's very, very important. Now, Jesus said, let's let the net down, Simon. These guys are Baptist. You think I'm kidding, but you watch here and see. He said, let down your nets for a draught. Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. It won't work. It won't do any good. We tried it. It didn't work. I told you there were Baptists, didn't I? And I approved it, so we have that taken care of. You know, we are really bad about saying, oh, we tried that and it didn't work. We're really bad about saying, oh, I don't think that's going to work. But you know, once in a while, you just have to say to people, well, we're going to do it. This is what we're going to do. If you want to be in on it, fine. If you don't, go about your business. I was having a tent meeting at one of my churches and had up a banner about 5 feet long and about 30 inches high announcing revival. Well, the city building inspector drove up and he jumped out. And you would have thought that I'd burned the city hall down or something. He said, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't. That's a sign. I said, sir, that's a banner. And the kids will throw, it's made out of oil cloth. The kids will throw rocks through it before Sunday. Don't worry about it. He said, well, that's just not according to the city code. And I said, you know, I bet it's not according to the city code for a church to block off a whole street, paint the yellow traffic stripe green at St. Patrick's Day, and dance in the street all Saturday night. He said, where does that happen? I said, down there at the church where you and your wife go. He said, I don't think I'll get involved in that. And I said, I wouldn't get involved in this if I were you. He jumped his car and left. But there's always those who say it won't work. You know, when was it Mr. Fulton that invented the steamboat? He got himself a little boat and was putting a little boiler and a little motor and a little propeller and all that thing on it. There's an old guy sitting on the bank watching him. About every 5 minutes, he'd spit in the water and say, I bet it doesn't work. I bet it doesn't work. And Mr. Fulton just chose to ignore him and go on. He got up a little head of steam and turned a little engine on. And the little boat started off and went out. He said to himself, I'm going to go right in front of that old buzzard and let him see it does work. He turned the boat around and went right in front of him. He spit in the water and said, I bet you don't ever get it stopped. When we start to do something good, there's always somebody that say it won't work. Won't work. So when folks tell us what we're doing not going to work, let's just smile and ignore them and go on and do it. What do you say? Just go on and get some fishes done. So he said, let down your net in verse 4. Launch out into the deep. Launch out. Oh, once in a while, friends, we got to just launch out. Not just mess around with it, but launch out there. And let down your net for a draught. Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And church, let me tell you, when Jesus Christ speaks, let's let the net down. When Jesus Christ speaks, that's it. I don't care whether you think it'll work or I think it'll work. Our opinions are frivolous when it comes to the Word of God. They're light stuff. Jesus said, let's catch some fish. And Simon said it wouldn't work. Now look at verse number 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Oh, you're going to lose a whole mess of fish because you didn't think you were going to catch any. Church, let me tell you, when the church starts to grow, and as it is, and continues to grow, there'll be somebody say, I ain't going to that church no more. Just a bunch of strangers down there. Bunch of strangers. I don't know anybody anymore. Well, la-di-da. Let me tell you something, friends. Peter said it won't work. But now he's got more fish than the net can hold. The net's broken. The fish, there are just too many of it. And look, he beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. They're going to sink both the ships. Too many fish. How did it happen? They had a clean, mended net, and they let it down when Jesus said, let it down, and they caught the fish. We really need a clean net. We don't need to fight each other. I worry about Washington. The Democrats and Republicans are not representing us. They're fighting each other. We don't need to fight each other in here. We need to be washing nets and mending nets and casting the nets and putting out the nets. So now they got the ships are about to sink. I love Simon Peter. Listen to him at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. You'd be better off without me. I'm just a sinner. But Jesus didn't want him to depart. By the time you've turned 10 more pages, this same fellow that's saying, I just don't fit this style of things, you'd be better off without me, that same fellow's preaching, 3,000 people got saved. Same guy. He just got over his little myth. Now look. Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, fear not, don't be afraid. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. You learned how now. You know what to do. Don't be afraid. Just go ahead and do it. Church, let me tell you, we can see in the next 12 months, if we just keep the net clean, keep the net mended, keep the net out there, we can see scores of people come into the kingdom of God. And boy, isn't it rejoicing when we line up a group across here, see them coming into the kingdom of God? This is the kind of fishing I like. And I think you do too. Let us bow our back. Let us not look back, turn back, go back. You say, well, the way is rough sometimes. It is, but God will give you shoes of iron and brass if you just stay at it. Stay at the work. God will take care of the whole thing if we'll just let Him be at the head. And if we're following and not leading, we need to be followers of the Son of God. We don't need to be followers of false doctrine and all that kind of thing. But we need to be followers of Jesus Christ. If it's in here, it's all right. If it's not in here, it's not all right. Amen. Let's determine by the grace of God that we're going to do the best we possibly can. And we'll sing hallelujah when it's all over. Amen. Quietly stand up, please. Go ahead and stand right there where you are.